June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Good morning, DFW. This is Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt, Peyton and Aiden alongside the Commercial Free Expressway and Diamond Cavs coming up at 7:20. But let's get in a little NFL. We are the home of the Dallas Cowboys. We will be in Oxnard, California about a month from now, getting you set with the best Cowboys coverage that there is. So why not talk about the Cowboys being in a little bit of unfamiliar territory right now, Bobby, which is... They're old.
They're older. They are older. We talked about this yesterday. The idea that the Cowboys core has a little bit of an expiration date, potentially.
Yeah.
And in large part, that's driven by your quarterback and where he's at with his age. Yeah, move on. But we have a list. Because you know I say everybody loves lists.
Everybody loves lists.
We've got a new list of the 25 players under 25 that are 25 and under. Not even just under 25. 25 and under. Now, I need to give you this caveat, Chop. The list was made by Cody Benjamin.
Is he the Tim Tebow's not on the list?
He's our CBS sports buddy who comes up with awful lists.
Yeah.
I don't think he's necessarily wrong about this fact, though. And we'll get into it here in a sec. Just does this say anything concerning, potentially, about the Dallas Cowboys? Okay. So he goes through the list. These are his top 25. You got guys at the back end of the list like Garrett Wilson, the receiver from the Jets, Drake London from the Falcons. Then you see Bijan Robinson sneak in there. I do feel like, man, this is really low for the receivers, though. Garrett Wilson, 25, Drake London, 24, Malik Nabers, 21. That just sounds like a guy who doesn't like receivers very much.
Yeah, that's kind of low. Those are impact player positions.
Some of the others on here, 16, Brock Bowers, which is roughly where I think he finished on the athletic list of the top 25 players in college football over the last 25 years. C.J. Stroud comes in at 15, Brock Purdy at 14, which, again, I would say is too low.
That's too low. I don't know how he's that low.
Getting into the top 10, you see number 8, Aiden Hutchinson, number 7, Sauce Gardner. Jahmyr Gibbs is number 6, Amon-Ra St. Brown at 5. This is basically just the Detroit Lions roster we're reading off.
Man, that's the scary thing, like, they're young. Detroit's really young. They've got like one more year in this window, I think.
The money's going to start catching up.
This is it. Like this is they got to kind of figure it out this year.
Number 4 is Patrick Surtain, and then I'm going to give you the top 3. I just want you to guess how they were stacked. The top 3 are Jaden Daniels, Ja'Marr Chase, and Penei Sewell. What order do you think they were put in?
Well, considering he hates receivers, it seems, I'll put Chase third.
Chase third, and then who's number 1? Daniels or Sewell?
Man, it's hard. I mean, you could make an argument that Penei Sewell is the best at what he does in the league.
Penei Sewell probably is the reason why the NFL has come out with this offensive lineman award that they're going to give out every year. Because there were people trying to say he should be an MVP candidate last year.
He was tremendous. I think he was probably number 1. Should be, but they're not going to give it to an O-lineman. So they gave it to Jaden.
You have the list completely wrong.
Oh, no.
You misplaced everybody in the top 3.
Awesome.
Number 3, Penei Sewell. It says, playmakers get shine in Motown, but everything starts up front, where Sewell has used his mammoth size and top-end quickness to pave the way for one of the NFL's most explosive offenses. Number 2 is Jaden Daniels. Is 1 year enough to call Daniels one of the game's elite quarterbacks? It is for now. The dynamic dual threat didn't just elevate the Commander's talent in an efficient and explosive rookie season. He also proved unfazed by the magnitude of the stage, dragging Washington all the way to the doorstep of a Super Bowl appearance. And then number 1, and I don't necessarily fault him for putting this guy number 1, it's Ja'Marr Chase. And Chase was absolutely fantastic last year. Players who aged out of the list. So players who were ranked last year who aged out. There are a couple Cowboys. Micah has aged out of this list now. CeeDee Lamb has aged out of this list now. And in terms of the list of also considered, they give us, looks like, about 22 other names. And there's only one Cowboy that even appears in those 22 names as considered, but didn't make the top 25. Would you like to guess who that was? Offense.
Tyler Smith.
Tyler Smith. Got it. Who's 24 years old, did not make the list here. But this is what's a little bothersome. I'm not advocating for any Cowboys to be on the list because I don't know that any of them deserve to. I think probably Tyler Smith should be. I would think that he's one of the 25 best under 25. But I guess if I went down and broke it down, I might be able to come up with...
Isn't he an All-Pro?
He's an All-Pro, but I mean, if we're talking about really... He was a second-team All-Pro. If we're talking about really great young players...
Yeah, I get you.
There are plenty of them to look at and say, yeah, I mean, there's a bunch of dynamos that have burst on the scene that are going to year three that are going to be around 24, 25 that are really, really good. Mm-hmm. But it is odd to look at one of these lists. It's the first time in a long time that I think you've looked at one of these lists and you have not seen one of the Cowboys players on there.
It is one of the first times because, like, if you go down throughout history, we are usually all over this list.
Mm-hmm. Because they've drafted so well.
They've drafted well. And this year, I agree with you, they probably shouldn't be. You can make a case that Tyler's deserving. But, look, we have had in years past CD, Micah, Dak, Zeke, Tyron. I mean, all over this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like, it's crickets. And that's given me the realization that, A, I mean, this is a win now age.
Yeah. They got a lot of cap obligations and they haven't drafted. They haven't had home run drafts
right.
The last two.
So their age is win now. They're also a little older. So that's part two, is that they're kind of old. But yeah, it's a little concerning. And again, I'm with you. Like, there's nothing you can change about it. I agree. I'm not saying, hey, listen, we need to get Tyler Smith needs to be on this list or whatever.
Right.
But it's a little concerning that they don't have anybody that is really, really great at a super young age.
I think it just shines a light on
light on how good they were for the previous 10 years.
Yeah, and it also shines a light on like how much this core is definitely aging. And even if Micah Parsons is young and CeeDee Lamb is young, because I mean, they're only 26. It's not like they're super old. You're still talking about a core that has a lot of age to it. And I mean, you know, guys are getting old. Time goes by quick. I mean, yeah. Dak felt like...
It felt like yesterday that he was throwing four touchdowns in a Miami preseason game.
This is like it feels stunning to me anyway that this is year 10 for him.
Yeah.
He's been here for 10 freaking years.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, I mean, if you want to talk about, this will be, in terms of a full-time season, this will he'll now surpass Romo as being the primary starting quarterback for the team for more years than Romo. Because Romo was 06, he took over in the middle of it. But then he was, and so I'm even including years where Romo got hurt. But this is the first year where he was this is now Dak has reached a point where he spent 10 years as the primary starting quarterback of the Cowboys, and Romo had 9. Which is nuts to think about. That's how long he's been around.
Yeah.
And he'll turn 32 while we're out there at training camp.
He's getting old. The team is older. Not old, it's older. It's a win now age group. Whether it's a win now team, that's a completely different story. I think you made the argument that because they went with a first year head coach, that it's not win now, because generally win now teams go with an established coach. But I don't think this is a normal win now team, normal franchise anyway.
When do you start thinking of players as not being young? I start thinking about 27. 27 is usually the age that I think of. So let's look at guys who are right on the doorstep of that. Micah Parsons is 26.
I'll give you the answer to that real quick.
Hmm.
This was kind of like when I was hopping around Valley Ranch back in the day.
Well,
at the facility, we would always joke about the people, the players who were not young anymore when they stopped being interested in having conversations about their college football team they played for.
Yeah.
There was one guy who would talk, didn't matter what stage of his career, he would always talk about his college or the NBA. That was Scandrick.
Oh, yeah.
Skater guy, he loved talking about it. But everybody else, like the first year in, man, they couldn't wait to keep talking about college and their college. They would have like a rivalry with their other.
They sounded like Asher Roth. I love college.
Sure.
Come on, you missed the reference. Screw you.
Go ahead. But they would jaw with our teammates who went to rival schools. About year three in, that was gone. That was like my kind of, oh, he's a vet now.
So here are the guys that are turning, will be 27 this season or older for the Cowboys on their core. Oso Odighizuwa, Jalen Tolbert. We've got Kelvin Harmon. Terrence Steele is 27. Terrence Steele's 28 now. Malik Hooker's 29. Solomon Thomas is 29. Dante Fowler's 30. This is wild to me. Donovan Wilson's 30. Donovan Wilson's the same age as Dante Fowler.
Wow.
Dak Prescott, 31. Going to be 32. This team is getting older.
Yeah, they are.
Quickly.
They are. That's not necessarily a bad thing because, you know, if you're getting older, that means you're probably more close to winning. But this team is not tremendously close to winning a Super Bowl. I don't think anybody really thinks that.
All right. I'm going to give you a list of guys who would qualify for this list next year with their age still on the Cowboys. And I want you to just tell me if you think that they would be under. By the way, I think it's a little, the one that we might also have an argument for is Deron Bland is 25, but it'll be turning 26 pretty soon. Yeah. So I don't know if that's what it is. I'm going to list off some of the Cowboys who will still qualify for this list by next year. And you tell me if you think they will be on it next year. George Pickens.
No, I don't think so.
Not going to get enough balls his way?
I don't think so. Because the back end of the receivers, you had Neighbors. Neighbors is a much bigger talent.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think so.
Cooper Beebe.
No.
Tyler Guyton.
No.
Donovan Ezeraku. Once he signs.
He's got a chance if he gets to 10 sacks.
Sexy
absolutely.
Babe.
Tyler Booker.
Yes.
So Booker's the one that you're eyeing is like, that's the guy who next
I'm high on him. I think Booker's going to walk in and be contention for all pro within the first 2 years.
And I mean, look, if you get that out of him, great. I do think that, and look, I think this draft class is going to hit in a big way. And I think last year's draft class is going to be remembered more fondly as we get along further. I think Tyler Guyton is still going to be a Pro Bowl player by the time his rookie contract's over. And I think that Maris Leofau is going to be a really good player for them. And so that class from last year, I think, is going to show out, is going to perform a little bit better. But this is the one that I think they really, Tyler Booker, Donovan Ezeraku, Jaden Blue, like Savone Ravel, like these are going to be guys that are,
yeah.
I think all of them are going to be meaningful contributors in the next 3 years or so. And so to me, you've done a good job kind of replenishing some of this talent. You've done a better job replacing some of your depth, but it is something that you're going to have to wrestle with or come to terms with is the fact that your core is not young anymore.
Right,
you are an aging team in a league that tries to be as young and as cheap as possible, which means your window is not only closing, it's getting pretty close to being, you know, nailed shut, boarded up. Like, that's what you're getting close to. It's the Bob Costas line. They're not as old as the Bills were, but that was the Bob Costas line after the Bills lost their fourth Super Bowl. Was he said on the postgame, he said this is a Bills team that their window hasn't just shut. It's been sealed and boarded up. Like that's what Dallas is looking at running into here.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is in the top 10 of these players, you have five players on this of two of the teams that are, you know, in your way to get to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. That's Washington and Detroit. They've got those two teams make up five of the top 10 players on this list. So I agree. I mean, it's closing. It's closing a little bit. It's Sean and RJ here on 105 through the Fan. We are your home of Dallas Cowboys football. We're also the home of the Rangers and crushing news for the Rangers pitching. And we'll go shopping in the trade market a little bit. Diamond Cavs coming up next on 105 through the Fan.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensTclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Play the highlight.
Duke got it. They've got 3 seconds. Flag, deep three ball. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And a show of emotion from the best player in America. Cooper Flag just hit from long range right before halftime.
Happy Capture the Flag Day. Duke Radio on the call. It is Sean and RJ here on 105 Through the Fan. I'm Bobby Belt. He's RJ Choppy. Peyton Russell's on the board. We got Aiden Butler running video for us. We got Jake Reitman somewhere walking around the halls just screaming Otters better up and down. Hockey season's over. I don't even know why he's doing that anymore. Tommy Brackle, the legendary coach at North Crowley High School, he's going to join us at 8. He had a unique experience with Cooper Flag last year, or in 2024, when he had been working with the McDonald's All-American team. So we're going to get some of his insight, also into Dylan Harper, Ace Bailey, a couple of the other guys that he had worked with. So you're not going to want to miss that. We're going to talk a little Rangers baseball here. We got Chopping It Up coming up. But, you know, it's such a positive day.
Yeah.
Chop, it's such a happy day.
Very happy day. I'm super excited for tonight. I know it's anticlimactic because we already know who's going to be picked. But, you know, I want to see the interviews and what they say and audio galore tomorrow.
It's going to be beautiful. Everybody's going to be happy tonight.
Peyton, get ready. You're going to have the cut sheet. It's going to be like Sean's back. It's going to be like Sean's back.
Yeah,
you're going to take off tomorrow.
Yeah, you're going to be here and play the highlight. So, we're going to have lots of Cooper Flag reactions. It's a great day because you're getting Cooper Flag. Rangers have the big comeback win.
Yeah, they do.
That was awesome. I'm sure eventually the Stars are going to hire a head coach just as soon as the Knicks do, I guess. Maybe. Just as soon as we get that. But we've got movement. Kyrie Irving's back. There's a lot of happiness. And because we're in such a good mood, we don't want to make y'all wait. We want to reward y'all. And so we're going to reward you right now with some tickets, courtesy of Peyton Russell.
All right, Tolos, that's right now. Call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to see Seether and Daughtry on November 11th at the Pavilion at the Toyota Music Factory. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
That's a great song.
It is.
I hated that I liked it because I did not like him on American Idol. And I ended up liking his music once he became a solo artist. But there you go. Get your Daughtry and Seether tickets. And now, let's do a little bit of your Diamond Cavs, RJ Choppy.
Yeah, let's do them.
Go ahead and do them without Peyton.
Without Peyton. We don't need to do Diamond Cavs with Peyton.
I don't think I told him to have the intro ready. So that's my bad.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Bad. That's not
bad. I just did the giveaway. And then
I just said it was my bad. We do giveaways all the time and then you hit ask Reddit.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
Well, I'll tell you how you can't be romantic about it. It happens when you get another crushing injury, and that is what happened yesterday for the Rangers. Now, the injury didn't happen yesterday, but the result of the injury happened yesterday. And that is that Cody Bradford's out for the year.
That is such a bummer.
It's a bummer. So he is going to undergo elbow surgery. Now, he's got to decide if it's going to be the full Tommy John reconstruction or if he's going to do the internal brace. And the internal brace is a newer thing in the last, handful of years, maybe? Decade? And this is a less invasive and, I guess, a shorter recovery time than the full-on reconstruction. It sucks for Bradford, dude. The team aside, this poor guy can't catch a break. He's a good pitcher.
No, and he's battled.
He battled
because when he first came up in 23, I remember Mike talking about him, and Mike had said he was like, I don't mean this in a bad way. He's Mike Bassick. He's a battler. He's whatever else. But then Mike, in 24, is like, no, he's developed into so much better pitcher than I have been. And so he's really worked hard to get to the place where he has. An Aledo kid, Aledo High School, a listener to this morning show, a listener to the station. You remember Zach and Eric tried to pull the trick on him in spring training. They're like, what do you think about the Rangers signing RJ Choppy?
Yeah.
And he's like, wow. RJ Choppy from The Fan?
Yeah.
And so he's a listener to the morning show specifically. Big fan of RJ Choppy. That's why RJ's so bummed about this. But overall, yeah, this is just...
I am bummed about this,
man. This is depressing news because he has been... He, to me, was like becoming the pitching Josh Smith.
Where that's Josh a good Smith, reference.
Josh yeah. Smith had like... I never thought he was going to develop into what he developed into. Cody Bradford, same way.
Yeah.
I didn't think we were going to get out of him what we did. And I just... I'm really hoping that he bounces back from this and comes back stronger. I mean, we've seen plenty of guys bounce back from this a big way. But
It's an injury that, you know, I know that it's... I hate the term, but they say it's like a rite of passage as a pitcher now that you're just going to get Tommy John. I just hate that because it is actually almost becoming the norm where, like, if you're a pitcher, you're going to find your way into this surgery at some point.
Yeah.
And it just stinks because you never know what's going to happen. It's sometimes you could see it coming. You know, you could see it, like you got this little weird injury. It's like with an Achilles, if you get the calf strain, you know, like, oh man, that Achilles is coming. And then you get like you hear the word forearm strain and like, oh god, no, oh no. But I mean, look, this sucks for him because he's done for this year, and depending on whether he opts for the full reconstruction, the brace, that determines 2026. If he goes to full reconstruction, I mean, he is gone for a large part of 26 as well.
Yeah, because it was around, gosh, did What did
DeGrom's was around DeGrom June. Do? Yeah, it was around, right, because he...
But what did he do? Did he do the full reconstruction?
I thought so. But he did it in...
He was about a month ahead of Bradford. Well,
they were 40-20 when he last... His last game, when he left that game, they were 40-20.
Yeah, and he... Because I know he got basically through the first month of the season was all. And so, yeah, well. I mean... And Cody Bradford is... Man, he's 27 now. He'll be 28 at the start of next season.
He's still fine. He's still young enough. It stinks. Some other news, though, within the Rangers. Because obviously, so what's going to happen is, you know, the rest of their depth beyond this year, you know, John Gray hasn't done anything. Malley has been out for, almost 2 weeks now with shoulder fatigue. And he's going to get a follow-up MRI soon. Obviously, Gray's had the wrist fracture. Hasn't even done a rehab assignment. They expect Eovaldi back, like, this weekend. So, at least you're getting him back. But, man, it is kind of a blow. It is kind of a blow to the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, I mean, it's not even that it's, like, necessarily a blow to their current staff. Because, I mean, they haven't had him this year. He hasn't been able to pitch. But it's just, it's upsetting that you're seeing the setback for a guy who had really been just maximizing everything that he had.
Yep.
And was really good in that sense of it. Getting Eovaldi back is going to be huge, obviously. I mean, we know that he's one of the most important players for them on the team, and that every year he's consistently, especially in the first half of the season, these last couple of years, he's been ace level. He seems to wear down a little bit second half of the year, and then just kind of brings it back up for October. But, man, I had forgotten just how dominant he was leading up to that IL stint.
Yeah.
Eovaldi. Because, I mean, he had gone 7 starts in a row, and he gave up 3 earned runs total.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just was working. And I mean, this year, on the season so far, he has 73 strikeouts to 10 walks. His ERA is 1.56. I mean, he's been just nails for them the entire year.
Yeah, he has. I saw it real quick. I want to do this before we get to before we go shopping. Did you see what David Ortiz said about Rafael Devers?
No.
So
nothing nice, I'm sure.
Now David Ortiz, mind you, okay, played 2,400 games in his career. All but 273 were as a DH.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, 2,100 games as a DH out of 2,400.
21?
And he posts on his IG story, the thing is that to have something like this at Boston, which is his number, he's got his number, big number retired up there. You have to just not be a hitter. You have to be the full package all the way around, an all-around player. Dude, you never played the field.
I mean, certainly not in Boston.
You're not a full-time player.
He did in Minnesota a little bit,
at first base.
Yeah.
But come on, you're not a full-time. You're not an all-around player. You were a hitter. You were a great hitter. The best DH I've ever... Well, him or Edgar. Two best DHs I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And a all-around player.
Did you see the note I put in our prep today about the DHing?
Oh, with Cal Raleigh?
Yeah. So Cal Raleigh this year, because we had brought this up previously about Wyatt Langford. Like, does Wyatt Langford need to play the field?
Some guys do.
The DHing it's not just some guys, dude. So here are Cal Raleigh's numbers at catcher this year. 300 batting average, 411 on base percentage. His OPS is 1162. He's hit 29 home runs in 58 games. Really impressive, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a DH this year, 17 games, he's hitting 197. His OPS is 659, and he has 3 homers in 17 games.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, so we've heard this before about DHs. I got to look and see how accurate that is for some of the other batters around baseball. So you take a look at Brent Rooker, for instance.
Brent Rooker.
Yep, Brent Rooker. He has, as a DH this year, 301 plate appearances. His OPS is 773. As an outfielder, he has 50 plate appearances. His OPS is 1213. It's 500 points higher.
Man, you got to feel engaged in the game, right?
Yeah, Yandy Diaz, his OPS, 500 points higher as a first baseman as opposed to a DH this year. You've got Colt Keith from the Detroit Tigers. He has a DH this year, 76 plate appearances. His OPS is 490 as an infielder, and his 150 plate appearances, OPS doubles basically to 861. So this is like, it's definitely an issue. And it made me go back and look specifically at Wyatt. For his career, Wyatt's OPS is 130 points higher when he plays the field. And in 105 plate appearances as a DH, Wyatt has never hit a home run.
Never?
He has zero home runs.
105 plate appearances.
And his OPS is 130 points lower than when he plays the field. And he has zero home runs. So, I mean, that, again, speaks to the idea of there's not many guys. Judge, for instance, Judge as a DH, his OPS is higher than as an outfielder, at least this year. So, I mean, there's some guys who...
Some guys can do it.
Maybe they need it as a break. It's good as a break.
I would assume they're more veteran, too.
Yeah. Like Otani, you know, he's
full-time.
Right, yeah, he's great there. And so, but, like, Judge is, like, somebody who works in there occasionally. There are a few guys who... It's just a benefit, it looks like, if they pop in there every now and then. But somebody who's splitting their time a little bit, almost every single time somebody playing the field is better off.
Wow. So Diamond Cavs here. Chopping up, coming up at 7:40. Diamond Cavs here on 105 through the Bay. Let's go shopping.
Let's do it. Okay, so ESPN had a great article up yesterday. It was ranking the MLB's top 50 trade deadline candidates.
Okay.
And out of the top 50, they took the first 30 and they slapped a percentage on them in terms of how likely they are to be traded. And then some teams that might fit them.
All right.
So we can cut at this two angles. Because we can save the other half of this or the other angle for this a little later if you want. Or do this tomorrow. Would you like to hear this from the perspective of players that Jeff Passan and Kylie McDaniel said were fits for Texas to trade for? Or would you like to look at the guys on this list who they say Texas could trade?
Oh, so who get rid of?
Yeah, who they would be purging.
I feel like that's a longer discussion.
Okay. So you want to do the guys they could acquire?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Then these are the list of players that ESPN says would be fits for the Texas Rangers. First on the list, it's the number 9 player on the list. It's Arizona Diamondbacks first baseman Josh Naylor, who they say has a 30% chance of getting traded. They say Naylor is batting over 300 this year as a lefty hitting first baseman in a contract year on pace for about 20 homers. Naylor faces left-handed pitchers more often than the next player on the list, but hasn't been particularly good at it. His on-base skills and lack of strikeouts make him an especially attractive acquisition candidate for postseason contenders.
So isn't Naylor the guy who hit the home run off the Astros pitcher who rocked the baby, and he was rocking the baby round of the bases?
Yeah, he was. That was him. Who did he do? It was when he was with the Guardians, and he had done rock the baby.
I think it was against the Yankees, I thought.
Yeah, but he did rock the baby.
Yeah, he did.
Okay, because the Astros guy would rock the baby when he pitched. Remember?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I thought that's what it was. Was it against the Yankees that he did that?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Which Naylor was an all-star last year for Cleveland. This year he's hitting .303. His OPS is .824, but that could be an option there. The very next name on the list, number 10, and this is a name we've talked about, and this is the player that they said had the second best odds of getting traded out of all the players on the list. At 85% chance of being dealt, the guy who hit the third home run last night, Ryan O'Hearn from Baltimore, They say Ohernus having an out of nowhere career year. He's hitting over 300 and with the underlying metrics to support it, along with being on pace for a career high in homers, he doesn't face lefty pitchers much at all, and his split suggests that he shouldn't. They said the best fits are Seattle, Boston, San Francisco, and then they throw Texas in there. But the Texas Rangers, as Ryan heard, Ryan O'Hearn's a name that we've talked about as that might be a decent bat to add to your lineup.
I'd be down with that.
But if he cannot hit left-handed pitching, if that's a problem, is that a guy where you just say, nope, we got to look somewhere else if you're going to be essentially a platoon player for us, no matter how good you are against righties?
No, because I do think there's value in having...
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or mensteaclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A left-handed bat.
A little bit surprising. The next player on the list is Marcell Ozuna.
Uh-huh.
Texas is not mentioned anywhere
really?
In that. And they've
Isn't
got,
he the guy you've been talking about
that,
all year?
That's the guy that we've been mentioning. Bowden mentioned him as the guy that he thinks that Texas should go after.
Uh-huh.
And he's somebody who I think fits kind of what Texas is looking for. But they list seven teams here who he could be a fit for, and they don't talk about Texas. Number 12 on the list, and the next Ranger is ESPN is going over the top trade deadline candidates in baseball. Number 12. It is Minnesota Twins reliever Yoan Duran, and he is this year a 157 ERA. His field and independent pitching is 203. He has 39 strikeouts to 13 walks, still has not allowed a home run in 34 innings pitched. This is a guy who 27 saves in 23, 23 saves in 24, has 10 this year. This is somebody who you could have close for you if you acquired Duran. It says Duran is one of the best relievers in the sport, thanks to his nasty stuff, headlined by a fastball that averages 100.2 and a splinker that sits at 97.5.
What is a splinker?
It's like a splitter sinker mix. He has two more years of team control after the season, so he'd demand a big trade package. They say 40% chance he gets dealt, and they list Texas as a contender, which I think makes sense given some of their late inning relief issues.
You can never have too much bullpen.
Specifically, this team late inning
right.
help.
You want to stock on that. Stockpile up on the bullpen if you can.
The rest of the players on this list that were fits for Texas, relievers, and some of them very familiar. 13 on the list, Emmanuel Clase, Cleveland Guardians, who he's having a bit of a down year. He's under contract for less than $30 million through 2028, so he would bring a big return, but that could potentially be a reunion. Next on the list, it was somebody who Texas was going against last night, Felix Bautista, the 6'8". Relief pitcher, he's listed as an option from the Orioles, and then the last pitcher that they have on the list that could be of interest to the Rangers, 60% chance of getting dealt, Pete Fairbanks from the Tampa Bay Rays.
Really? I always liked him.
Says Fairbanks raised his slot a bit this year, and now his 97-mile-per-hour fastball has more cutting action, and his slurvy slider has more depth, with both pitches playing a notch better than they did last season. So a lot of the pairing that they have on this list for the Rangers is relievers.
And that's okay. I know we need a bat more, but it's okay. I mean, just run prevention.
Which Fairbanks, again, that would be another reunion because he was with Texas in 2019. But 215 ERA this year, 273 field and independent pitching, and a guy who some of the peripherals don't look great. It's 26 strikeouts to 14 walks. But again, he's another guy who just has not allowed a home run this year, has generated some weak contact. So relief pitching could be a big focus for them, but you need a bat.
Yeah, and then tomorrow we can get into the guys that could be on their way out.
Including one Ranger who Jeff Passan says has the third best odds of all players getting traded at the deadline.
Really?
Yeah, one of these Rangers is the third most likely player in baseball to get traded.
Is it somebody that's very, very obvious?
Oh, it's a name. It's a name.
It's a name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Very good.
It's a name that would upset some people, I think.
All right. I think I know where you're going there. Diamond Cavs here on 105 through the fan. We already did the giveaway. We've already done Diamond Cavs. It's the commercial-free expressway. It's every day between 720 and 8 o'clock as we are commercial-free. And it is a Wednesday, so it is time for Chopping It Up.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Does the name Martin Cove ring a bell?
Yeah, it's a popular makeout spot, right?
It is, Martin Cove, absolutely. Does the name John Kreese ring a bell?
Does it?
Yeah.
No, it doesn't.
No. He is Sensei in Karate Kid.
Oh,
he's the bad guy. He's the original villain. Not obviously Johnny was the villain, but he was the head of the villain. He was the coach, the sensei.
So wait, who was Martin Cove then?
That's the character. That's the actor.
Oh, okay.
That's
so the actor and John Kreese is the name.
John Kreese.
Got it.
In Karate Kid. Well, he was at Comic-Con.
Well.
All right. Have you been to Comic-Con?
No. God, no.
You say that as if you're not into any, like,
I mean, I'm the one who, like,
fantasy stuff.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
Think about it. Like, we've talked about how I won't watch Game of Thrones because there's dragons in it.
That's fair.
Kristen's been frustrated that I haven't watched any, like, really watched any of the MCU with her. So, like, if that's your thing, cool. I'm not putting it down. I'm just saying, for me, like, given what I'm into, like, no, I would never go there.
So he was at this Comic-Con in Washington State, and Alicia Hannah Kim, who was one of his co-stars in Cobra Kai, accused him of biting her on the arm so hard it dang near drew blood, and then he kissed her arm when she yelled out in pain.
Like there. Like he did it there. So this isn't like she's just unearthing dirty laundry. Like that happened there.
Happened at the Comic-Con. He was removed from Comic-Con. She told a police officer working the VIP section that he completely unprovoked grabbed her arm, chomped down on it as she passed by and said hello. Both the actress and her husband witnessed the alleged incident, claimed they told Martin immediately after what he did was completely unacceptable, and he was furious and outraged and angry at this.
Wasn't that his, I mean, that makes sense, though. That was like what he kept telling Johnny to do at the end.
Yeah.
Bite the arm.
Yeah, no, sweep the leg.
Oh, okay, sweep close. The leg. Sorry.
No blood, no foul.
Yeah, I had it mixed up. Well, that's why he kissed her arm. There was blood. He was like, oh, crap, sorry.
It was a very noticeable bite mark. She decided not to press charges of simple assault. This is one of the least surprising things I could see. Who would have thought that the guy who made his entire career out of being like the embodiment, the cliche embodiment of the bad coach, right? Or the, you know what I mean? Like just the take him out.
He like became, he became it.
He became John
Kreese. Yeah, do you think this is just becoming the role? Or did they have to get somebody to do the role who already had that in them?
Oh, that's a really good question.
So here's the thing. We always heard about how the Joker role caused people to go a little crazy. Like, people would do that role and then they'd fall a little bit into it. There's a famous cautionary tale from Boys in the Hood. You remember that movie?
I
1991
do.
John mm-hmm. Singleton flick. In Boys in the Hood, one of the guys, I'm trying to remember if it was the guy who actually shot Ricky or the guy who was driving. But one of them had never, like it's become this cautionary tale. If he was on the set, like got so immersed in the character and the culture and the storyline that like he got into gang life after the movie, had never been into it, and he got into it after the movie, and he ended up getting shot and killed a few years later.
It's crazy. He's like, you method act your way into this life.
Or like you go, like he was just around it, and he just realized like, I love this. I love the. The whole structure of the movie just became something that he became obsessed with, and then he fell into that lifestyle.
Chopping it up here, 105 through the fan. Have you been victim of the Gen Z gaze?
What is that?
Whoa. This is the phenomenon where you want this. See, they got to name everything.
I don't think it's legal for Gen Z to gaze at me or for me to gaze at Gen Z.
Some of them, it's legal. Most of them, maybe not. But this is the phenomenon where you walk into a restaurant.
Thank you, 404. It was the guy who shot Ricky is the one who fell into the gang lifestyle.
So let's say you walk into a restaurant. Who's the first person you see?
Hostess.
The hostess, right. Mm-hmm. Or you walk into a store. First person you see is the person working the counter or whatever. The Gen Z gaze is where they no longer greet you with a smile or a hello, welcome in. They just look at you and wait for you to say something first. And this is... People are noticing this at all because now it's like those jobs are made up almost completely of Gen Z, and they just don't say a word to you. You walk in, And I've even noticed this. You walk in, no one says hi, and they just look at you. Like kind of their mouth open. It's called the Gen Z gaze. Have you become victim of this phenomenon?
I haven't run into that very. I feel like most places where I walk in, at least restaurants that I'm trying to think about, I feel like the hostess always does say something to me. Like a big smile and hi, welcome in. And then I always got to, usually I'm meeting somebody there or whatever. And so I'll just go like, yeah, I'm meeting somebody. I'm just going in. And so they're like, okay, have a good day. And like, I feel like generally, I don't know. I don't feel like that would, like, I don't feel
I've
like
noticed
that would fly.
I haven't seen it a lot. I've noticed it. People are bringing up examples here. Like if they go to the doctor or a dentist, that the people at the desk look at you and act like they have no idea why you could possibly be in there. I've had that before.
I've had some bad desk workers there.
When I go to a doctor or dentist, like I've gone to the dentist to take my kids there, and I'm standing at the thing, and they got to slide that window over.
Yeah,
and they slide the window over, and they don't say a word.
It's I help you? It's like, well, yeah, I'm not just here trying to have a conversation with you. I got an appointment. Come on.
They look at me like, why are you here? What are you doing here? Yeah. I don't know if you guys had come across that.
817 said, this happened to me on Sunday at Subway. Dude just stared at me.
Bobby would be the guy that stares back and just waits. Like, he plays the game with them. He's like, okay. Cool.
No, you know who would do that is Sean. Sean would just stand there and just
look
like,
right back at him.
You're supposed to talk.
it's your turn.
Gosh, I still, to this day, it makes me so uncomfortable thinking about it. You weren't there. You would luckily walk off at the airport.
That was at the airport.
Yeah, you were off doing something else when we were, like, you'd maybe been there earlier.
I think I was shopping.
But you were not there when Sean had his tense interaction with the server. He was getting super annoyed and thought, like, the guy was kind of giving him some attitude or whatever. And I just remember thinking, like, all right, let's not say anything. Let's just get out of here because I don't want to deal with this. And instead, Sean just stares at him and goes, boy, you and I are just having a great time, aren't we? And I was like, oh, God. I said, all right, I'm going to go find Chop. And I got up and left.
Yeah, I don't get, like, awkward with the confrontation with that. I'm just like, whatever. I'm not dealing with that.
It was a little uncomfortable.
I can see that. Chopping it up here on 105 through the Fan. So Tesla rolled out the robo-taxi in Austin this past weekend. By the way, to mark the launch, all fares were $4.20.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah, you get it? Yeah. No matter how long they were $4.20. Would you take a robo-taxi?
No, God, no.
Peyton?
I would have to do it once, but it wouldn't be a far trip. It'd be like down the street, just in case something happened.
So did you see the rollout video that got, so like they're in this test phase in Austin and they're doing this rollout. So there was this test footage for these like Tesla influencers, these riders that were picked by Tesla specifically to do it and then give feedback for it. So it's a little, Fox Guard in the hen house sort of thing, because they're picking the people to just go, yeah, these are the ones who are testing out the car. These folks were taking it and they put it in the GPS, and you got to see this picture right here. I'm going to turn it around. This is where the Tesla dropped them off. That is the middle of an intersection.
Oh, I don't think that's accurate.
At a light.
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah. The car stopped there. Because I guess there was something about the function that they were trying to say, drop me off a little early. And something about doing that bugged the thing out. And it just stopped. It didn't stop right when they said it. But it wasn't able to calculate it right. And so it put them in the middle of a green light, stopped the car, and dumped them out onto the street.
Buddy of mine who I went to high school with, he lives out in San Fran, and he takes those Waymo thingies, the self-driving cars, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And he's always posting videos. He's like, I'll never get used to this. But he's still in them. I don't know that I would. Now, maybe if I'm in like a downtown city area where you can't go more than about 20 miles an hour, maybe then. I'm getting on one on a highway.
How do I know the car's not going to go more than 20 miles per hour, though? How do I know things not going to bug out and just start going, I'm going 60?
Right. Yeah.
I don't trust this.
Can you not get the front seat and stop it?
I will never. I don't know. I'm not trusting this. I'm not getting in one of these cars ever.
Yeah, I have no desire.
I will never do it. And tomorrow, we'll do this during Neighborhood Watch tomorrow, since it's technically mm-hmm. Texas, even if it's not DFW. Have you seen the videos of robots running around Austin?
No.
Like, they've got I'm going to show you the video during the break, and we'll play the video on the fan cam tomorrow. It is creepy. These, like, robot children who are supposed to be, like, these service robots running around Austin and talking to people.
Oh, that's
weird.
That is creepy. Chopping it up here on 105 through the fan. Is the fanny pack part of your clothing?
Never has been. I don't
No, I mean, is it? No, literally. So a passenger was kicked off a plane. A Virgin Airlines passenger booted off a plane after a heated altercation that began with a fanny pack. So crew members asked the 28-year-old flyer to remove her fanny pack before takeoff, but she repeatedly declined. She started cursing at them. She said, "You're telling me to take my clothes off on a plane, blank off, middle finger." The crew said, "No, I didn't say that." They said, "You've got a fanny pack on in the event of evacuation. We need to make sure you're safe." So people are jumping back and forth now, arguing if the fanny pack should be considered part of your clothing.
No.
Like a belt. Is it a belt?
No. It's more like a backpack, and a backpack's not your clothing.
I agree. I don't know why this
it can be a fashion statement, potentially, a fanny pack, but it's still not your clothing.
So people are writing articles of this, and attorneys are getting involved. A belt that you could store items in is still a belt. It's part of your clothes because it doesn't require an overhead bin, doesn't require space underneath. If a man can wear cargo pants and anybody can wear a jacket, why can't you wear your fanny pack?
This is what attorneys are saying?
This is what attorneys and are getting involved with. I think this is lunacy. Peyton, is it a fanny pack a part of your clothes?
No, it's an accessory. It's just something you wear with your clothes.
An accessory. Accessory.
I feel like most people, and I'm trying to look at images right now to see if I'm just misremembering this. Yeah, I feel like most people don't even put it through the belt loops.
Oh no, I would never do that.
I've seen one or two pictures where they do, but so it's not a belt. It's literally not even attached to your clothing like that.
No.
I think there's a better argument that a hat is clothing.
Oh, a hat is clothing.
Like I think that you so I think
completes the outfit.
So I would say that if you told me to take off my hat in a restaurant, I'd be like, "You're telling me to remove my clothing."
We try that.
We should do it.
Let's do a workshop. Let's workshop this.
Okay? We need to come up with some bet, and then next time we're on a road trip, one of us has to wear a hat into a restaurant where we're not allowed to, and then make a scene about it. Like, "You're telling me to remove my clothing. I'll have my lawyers up here so fast, you won't even believe it."
United Airlines is facing a discrimination lawsuit. Why are they
fanny packs?
Not fanny packs.
Oh,
something way, way worse. Woman claims she was kicked off a plane because she was mistaken for another passenger seated several rows away. Now, they knew each other, but they were not in the same row. They were seated like seven rows away. It was a flight that was going from Vegas to D.C., had to divert to Baltimore because of bad weather. But when they got there, they asked one woman, they had everybody get off the plane.
Mm-hmm.
They asked, as they were coming back on, they stopped one of the women and said, "You can't get on this plane, yada, yada, yada." And she's like, "Why?" They said, "Well, you did this there. You were, you know, being disrespectful, whatever." And the woman says, "That's not me. That's her." And she points to another woman. And the reason it's a lawsuit is because they are saying it's discrimination. They're both Asian women, and they think that United, like, got them wrong.
I don't know that I want that smoke.
No.
I think if that's what they're going with, I might just go like, "Is this worth it?"
Who, United?
Yeah, I think I'm settling.
I'm just saying, yes. Like this, so that's it. So one of the, and they were both realtors. They were at a realtor convention.
Why do you use three syllables for that word?
What?
The one you just said.
Realtor? Profession.
Yeah. I always think realtor.
Jake Reitma's giving me a thumbs up on that one.
Well, Reitma thinks like Detroit-style pizza is pizza.
Wasn't yesterday National Detroit Day or something like that?
It was Monday.
Monday was Detroit Pizza Day?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Terrible day.
Oh, no.
Terrible day.
But I think it's realtor, not realtor.
Realtor. I say realtor. Realtor. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong.
Let us know in the fan text how you
so
say
So one of the realtors confronted the flight attendant over her rudeness, received a snarky response. They got into a big fight, and they tried to get back on the plane. And the flight attendant stops one of the other women, and now there is a lawsuit against that. And I am with you, Bobby. If I was United, I'm like, I'm not touching that.
Yep. I'd rather just settle and be done with that. That's how I'd look at it.
Who do we have joining the show next?
We got, of course, Cooper Flag Day.
Yes,
we're all
is.
Very excited. It's Capture the Flag Day. Let's talk to somebody who knows a whole lot, firsthand experience with Cooper Flagg. It is North Crowley High School basketball coach, the legendary Tommy Brackle. That's next here on 105 Through the Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.